Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson and I'm the founder of Core Women, and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and find strategic empowerment ideas that will help us help support our lives. Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Kat Johnson. She is a versatile custom tattoo artist with over 15 years of professional experience, and she's been with Dark Horse Tattoos in Stafford, Virginia for over a decade. She specializes in large-scale work and enjoys subjects like plants, animals, skulls, birds, goddesses, big cats, fantasy, religion, mythology, and nature. Her artwork is absolutely stunning. Let's get right into talking about your journey, Kat, and welcome.
Well, thank you so much. What would you like to know?
Well, first of all, let's talk about how you started. What kind of drove your interest?
I was always an artist. I was an artist from a very young age. I was fortunate to be identified as a gifted artist by the time I was in kindergarten. So I was in an artistically enriched program from kindergarten until I graduated school. And I was winning art contests really from first grade on. So that drove my identity as a person, as seeing myself as an artist always. And when I transitioned into tattooing and entrepreneurship, it was just a natural extension of other types of jobs I'd done artistically.
Okay. So great explanation. So when you started, where did you really begin to develop? And I know it was really early on, but what really triggered you to say, yes, I want to be a tattoo artist? And, you know, how did you begin with your art to have a medium such as skin?
Okay. I wanted to be a tattoo artist. Probably that thought formed from seeing a movie called Tattoo, which was released in 1981. I used to have the poster over there. It'll be back up. We just recently painted. Anyway, in that particular movie, I don't really know how I ended up seeing it, because it was a rated R movie and it wasn't particularly positive in its portrayal of tattoo artists or tattooing as a medium. But I was so impressed with the artwork that it was just kind of like falling in love with the right person. You just kind of knew you wanted to spend your life. It wasn't a lot of questions or uncertainty. I knew from that point forward it was something I wanted to do.
Okay, and so that was in 81. So where was your first job? Where did you begin? And when you first began, what was that experience like for you to use the canvas of skin, so to speak?
I first started tattooing professionally in 2003 in upstate New York. I had been a commercial artist. I had worked as a comic book artist. I'd worked as a graphic designer. I'd worked as a freelance illustrator. So I had a commercial art background when I got into tattooing. I was actually earning my master's degree in human resource information management systems at the time. And the local tattoo guy came in where I had a college job in Staples, and that's how I got into tattooing. And as far as transitioning onto skin, the apprenticeship route was different at that particular time than it is today, and they just kind of threw you to the sharks. They were just like, here's a customer, tattoo them. There really wasn't the kind of learning that's available today, at least not in the area that I was in. So that there wasn't really a transition. It was more like, you're dry, now you're wet. Like someone kicks you into a pool. That's exactly what it was like.
Okay. So tell me about that. Tell me about how it might be different today and what's offered today for young artists.
Today, there's an absolute amazing amount of information that you can get through connecting through tattoo conventions, in person, in your own town, wherever you might be. You can certainly become friends with tattoo artists if you bring them coffee. We're all open to bribes. it's easy to connect to artists. 15 years ago, tattoo art was less popular. There were fewer artists. It was harder to necessarily assume you would have a good quality parlor in your town. If it was a smaller town, there might be some dotted here and there in the cities, and it was just a little bit more difficult to find and get into at that time. Today, it's very easy. There's internet information, there's YouTube, there's Google. You can go to tattoo conventions, you can go to education conventions. There's just so much more information available easily and accessible by artists throughout the world, not just in the United States. So the opportunity for young artists is much easier, I think, in a lot of ways because there's more information available.
Great. Okay, so that's wonderful information for those who maybe are interested in this particular type of art, let's say. So that's perfect. The other question I have is, when you began, did you see a difference between, you know, the demographic of artists that were in this profession, so to speak? Was it more male dominated, or?
There's definitely a difference demographically. I think it's much more diverse now. The primary person who was involved in tattooing when I started in 2003 was more than likely male, more than likely white, more than likely heterosexual, more than likely not to have a college education. Just broadly, I'm not saying there weren't exceptions, of all stripes there were, but it was much more rare. These days, I think that the ratio is probably 40% women to 60% men, all sorts of ethnic backgrounds, different religions, different philosophies. A lot more kids are coming out with degrees in art and entering the profession. It's just grown in popularity so tremendously. There's almost any type of person that you could represent as a class or a particular group, you will see that same group reflected in tattooing today. That wasn't the case 15 years ago.
Okay. Now, one of my other questions is, what would you say in relation to your type of art? Is there different type of tattoo artists? So what I was reading when I was doing some research, you have a different type of art in relation to it's large scale art.
I think that there's certainly different types of art in terms of stylistically.
Okay.
So you might be a traditional artist, you might be a new school artist, you might be interested in illustrative or near traditional or Japanese or fine line or geometric or any of the particular styles that tattooing is available in. So certainly there's a wide variety of types of art.
Okay.
And I think a wide variety of types of people that both give and get tattoos.
Okay, so when you say that, what style do you like best, or you gravitate towards?
I'm an illustrative artist by choice. I like illustrative art because I think it provides an interesting artistic challenge in terms of the composition. Illustrative art is primarily two elements combined. One would be realism, and one would be something highly stylized. And you're creating a juxtaposition between the two styles, and it shows both your ability to distill the essence of an object into the most simple form, which is what a more neo-traditional or traditional element would be, as well as capture the life and make the artistic decisions for the lighting on something that's more realistic. So I think it's a wider versatility of style because you're doing two different things and trying to blend them successfully in a single composition, but also I think it's just a fun challenge because it allows you to put a lot of yourself in it. To a certain degree, realism is rigid enough that if a tree doesn't look like a tree, it's not very realistic. So
good point.
You have a limit to how much creativity you can have in that, in my opinion. Whereas something stylized, there really is no limit to your ability to artistically manipulate the theme that you're doing for your particular art piece.
Okay. Now, I also did read that you did some fine art type of projects as well.
I certainly do. I do illustration. Markers are probably my favorite medium, but I do colored pencil, watercolor, oils, acrylics, pen and ink, graphite, just a lot of different things. I do sculpture. I find that artistic talent is a little bit like being athletic in that if you're an athletic person, chances are good that your main strength is coordination of the body, and so you could probably run and jump, because that's essentially the same core of what you have as a talent. Artistically, you could draw or paint or sculpt or tattoo, because it's essentially the same brain using your talent through a different medium. The medium is almost irrelevant.
Okay. Now, if you had some words of wisdom to impart, like, on women who, or young women who want to get into this form of art, what might you tell them?
Be thick-skinned.
Okay.
If you want to stay
<Pun intended.
laughs> in this, you're going to have to be thick-skinned, not only because tattoo artists tend to be very blunt, artists in general tend to self-obsess on their work, And of course, you're going to have a clientele right out of the gate if you are new, who's going to have an extremely high expectation of your technical prowess, which is not always accurate when you're new as a tattoo artist. So you need to be thick-skinned enough to tolerate feedback from not only your peers, but also the general public, and to remain true to your vision that this is something you can do, and there will be some success along with some failure in the beginning, and you need to be able to persevere past any setbacks in order to be successful. It's, to me, an exercise in self-discipline over time, like any learned skill is. And if you're not willing to be able to persevere past, you know, any criticism you might receive, even if it's through your own eyes of your ability, you probably won't do well in this profession. So thick skin, very important.
Okay. Well, and that's great words of wisdom. So, because you're also, you know, when you get into a business as an entrepreneur, you're not just looking at your art necessarily, you're also looking at aspects of business.
Absolutely. But most people who get into tattooing don't start as a business, other than they may be an independent contractor in a parlor. So that's a completely different level of maintaining entrepreneurship than actually having an independent retail space. You know, there's a different level of demand in terms of your acumen in business between being an IC
Correct.
And being an actual retail owner.
That is true.
Yeah, so I most people are not going to start off with those types of pressures. Most people
right.
are going to start off with application pressure.
Right.
Can they apply the tattoo in a way that's artistically pleasing and hygienically successful to the client? That's a completely different type of thing. So there, it's not that it's less pressure, it's a different type. In the beginning, it's all about execution. Later on, it might be an acumen of creativity or composition. But in the beginning, it's just, can you learn to manipulate the tools in order to properly apply a good, healing, safe, clean tattoo?
Which brings me to another question. So when people are looking at getting a tattoo, and this is what's really interesting to me. So I found you on Instagram, and I absolutely was drawn to your work. And it potentially could be the vibrancy and brilliance of the colors and also your designs, so which I absolutely loved. So I wanted to reach out to you because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, your art, how you got into this. But I also want to know, if somebody's looking at getting a tattoo, what are some of the primary things you would tell somebody to look for?
I think the first thing I would advise is to seek out some reviews online. If the place has no reviews, that's kind of a red flag that there's none, especially if it's an established place. Now, it isn't to say you should expect to see 100% perfect reviews on any particular place, because certainly we know that people can bring unfair elements into the arena of the internet on occasion. But you should look for an overall positive set of reviews from people. If possible, it would be awesome if you had actual living representations of the work that you're interested in. So do you know any people who are referring you to the parlor? If you've seen their work and you like their tattoos and they say they were treated well, the place was clean, they got what they wanted, those are all positive signs. Obviously, there's a lot of different aspects to customer service and having the place be clean, having the place be professional in how they handle your consignment with them, how you handle dealing with the artist. Are they offering interest in your project? Are they offering a solution to what you're after? Now, the one thing that studios don't generally do, which the public often thinks we do, we don't tell you what to get tattooed. So, for example, if you came in saying, I want a tattoo, but I don't know what I want, there wouldn't be terribly much that we could do for you at that point. That is a mental exercise you need to know prior to really pursuing tattooing. Now, you don't have to have a fleshed out idea 100%, but it would be helpful, for example, if you knew, I want a rose, versus I have no idea what I want, where I want it, how big, I just know I want a tattoo. You need to do more mental work at that point. So you want to talk to the artist, make sure you feel comfortable. Not every artist does every style of work. You want to make sure that you feel like you're going to be treated with the respect that you deserve for investing what is a pricey investment in body art decoration. You might want to see if your artist had an interest in your theme, because some artists simply don't accept themes that they don't feel artistically attracted to. So if you wanted a particular artist that doesn't necessarily mean that they're the right fit for your project. So it's important to be open to the fact that a good artist is going to be honest whether your project falls within the scope of their practice or outside it. Most artists take great pride in referring you to someone that would fit your product better if they think that it's they're just not a good fit for the job. So it's a two-way street. They have to feel that they can do an excellent job in your commission, and you have to feel comfortable getting the commission done by that person. Referrals are great. Online reviews are good. You should look at their portfolios, most certainly. Things that you're looking for, regardless of style, you would want to see if the gradation, either in black and gray or color, was smooth and airbrush-like. You would want to see precise lines. You would want to take in the overall composition. If you are able to perceive where the tattoo is on the body, does it flatter the physique? Does it fit the area? Are you attracted to it? Do you find that there's styles represented in their portfolio that you feel are a good fit for your interests? You might find an artist whose work you're really impressed with, but they're a black and gray artist and you want color. They might not be the right fit for you. But just because you don't see it in the portfolio doesn't necessarily mean that they can't do it for you, because obviously artists can only do what they're commissioned to do, so it doesn't mean they don't have other capabilities that might not necessarily be reflected in photos. And generally, artists want to work on projects of a certain nature that appeal to them artistically, so excitement in your project is a plus and something a client should look for. I think the least important thing is personally price, because the fact that tattooing is permanent, it's an investment over time. It is difficult, if not impossible, to repair the skin into a non-tattooed state if you don't like it. So it is important that you invest in the idea that it is a piece of body art that's going to be with you forever. So I don't think price is something that you should focus on immediately, and perhaps even be slightly suspicious if you see someone whose art you consider fantastic that's willing to do it for 10 bucks in a beer, because chances are good they stole those photos, because artists know what they're worth. This is our only job. We are commercial, professional artists who make our living this way, and artists know their worth. So they don't generally vastly undercharge. Also, prices always reflect the operating business's costs of the particular area. So an equally comparable artist in Montana might charge less than one in Northern Virginia, because the operating costs of Montana are significantly lower. I think also there's just a kind of vibe that you would want to feel from the artist. I myself am an introvert. If you need an extremely outgoing, over-the-top type of artist who's just all sorts of fun and in terms of just constantly making you laugh and great stories, and someone else might be more quiet, you might just not fit with that vibe personally. If it's a small tattoo, that might not be meaningful to you, but if you're getting large scale work, like you could be there 6 months or a year or even more than that to complete the project, it would be helpful if you at least liked the person that you were planning to engage a multi-sitting project with. So I think there's something to be said for that. And I think there's a gut feeling, you know, does it just seem like a good fit for everybody involved? And I think that's where artistic creativity and synergy really happens, when everybody's on the same page, happy to work together, enjoying the project. I think that's when artist and client really get the best out of one another, is when there is a certain synergistic connection between the two, and they use that relationship to communicate about their body art wishes, and that allows the artist to transform the client into the vision that they have of themselves as an illustrated person, which I think is important.
Well, all very rich, great information. So what I'm hearing is definitely consult with different artists to see if you're a good match. Look at their portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, have a clear idea that this is what I want to do, this is what I want to get, after you've had these discussions and have done your research. Because this is something, as you said, is going to be on you pretty much forever. You know, and it's very hard to get the skin back to what it was originally if you didn't, you know, you're not happy with the results.
Yeah, it's always better to do your research, to take your time. I think probably the biggest mistake people make in tattooing is they try to do it as an impulse, and that rarely works, both because top artists tend to be booked in advance, so there's no opportunity to impulsively get work by them, but also I think long term that people just generally tend to be happier if they take a little bit of time regarding what they're truly looking for in a piece of body art.
Correct. Now, it's kind of funny because you go back to all these various movies and such and this mainstream stuff on TV or film, and you see a lot of, you know, the whole idea of people having a night out and then going to get a tattoo. If somebody comes rolling in here and they're inebriated,
we turn them away.
Right.
The reality is that there is no economic driver for us to work on someone who cannot give active consent, for the simple reason that we've been here for a decade. We intend to stay another. Our reputation is certainly more important than any minute intake of work. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you wouldn't actually want to do the application on someone who's intoxicated because it thins out the blood, which pushes out the ink we're attempting to eject through tattoo, and the result is poor. And given that we guarantee our work, that means we'd do it twice and, you know, not get as stellar a result as if that person was completely sober, uncompromised. And of course, there would also be that it's against regulation to tattoo people that we consider to be compromised. They have to actively consent through the process of tattoo from beginning to end. And at any time, if they tell us to stop, we, by regulation, must stop.
And that's really, really good information. It's great information for the listener because, first of all, you don't want to go into a shop where you're getting some fine art, essentially, and spend your money that way and not really understand what you're doing, number one. Number two, you know, you take your job very seriously. This is something that you take a lot of pride in. And so with a consumer coming in like that, it would, you know, you have the wherewithal and the insight to say, and regulations to say, hey, I can't do this. So, and hopefully if any of the listeners hear what we're saying, if you go into a shop like that, they would hopefully do the same, you know?
Yeah, I think reputable shops will turn you away. You know, no one is desperate for your money in that way. It's way too big of a risk. It's not ethical, and we're not interested in getting involved in that at all. We want people to be able to like their art, say they put thought and time into finding a good provider who can create something custom and beautiful that fits and flatters their physique, rather than, hey, here's a Tasmanian devil I got last night after a bender at Charlie's. Nobody wants that.
Right. Well, you know, Kat, this has all been very rich and terrific information. So are there, does every state have a certification or licensing department, division?
No.
How does that?
Actually, there are a few states where there is no licensure requirement. Okay. But we are always moving towards active regulation through the growth of big government. So I'm sure that's a temporary state. Most states are moving towards regulatory licensure for almost all professional occupations, tattooing among them.
Gotcha. Yes, true. So any last words that you want to impart on our listeners today?
I think tattooing is a wonderful medium, but it is not for everybody. I think if you are interested in getting a tattoo, you really need to search your soul and decide whether you want to transform your body into a piece of living art that reflects your values and interests. And that you, if the answer to that is yes, you need to be willing to put in the time, effort, and thought to get something that's really going to reflect your taste. Because ultimately, we are just here to accessorize, to beautyize your body, to make it look exactly the way it looks in your mind's eye. And to be able to interpret the thoughts and dreams of others in that way is an honor and something I think all good artists will take very seriously.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kat. If you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and to get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. If you'd like to know more about Kat, please go to the Dark Horse Tattoos website at darkhorsetattoos.com, or you can follow Dark Horse Tattoos on Instagram. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.